from the foothills of Lukenya Hills. Today we focus on a somber subject, the subject of the genocide in Rwanda, which occurred from the middle of the month of April to just about the beginning of the month of July in the year 1994. And in the year 2024, we are commemorating the genocide 30 years on. I have been privileged on different occasions to join the people of Rwanda to commemorate this day, Kwibuka, remembrance. But it's remembrance of a different kind. And it is important that we give this sad event a historical context. Many don't remember that in 1959, there had been another massacre which saw the abolition of the Tutsi kingdom, and many individuals who later participated in liberating Rwanda after the genocide were themselves refugees in different parts of East Africa, specifically and particularly in Uganda and Tanzania and even the Democratic Republic of Congo. One may ask, how did it come about? What were the seeds that germinated in this manner? There are those who say that during the period when the Germans administered Rwanda, Burundi, they started sowing these seeds of discord by bringing in differentiation between peoples who spoke the same language, but identifying them by looking at their physical features and saying these are Hutus with shorter noses and these are Tutsis who are taller. And of course they were the Tua. There are those who also say that the administration that had been led by the Hutus were responsible for this. And in this regard, the administration of President Habyarimana, whose death and that of his colleague from a peace mission in Arusha was the immediate spark of the genocide when their plane was shot down and the Hutus who were operating at the Hinterharamwe, or the people who attacked together, started demonizing the Tutsis by calling them cockroaches. We now know that this was organized. We know that there are elements within the Hutu community who demonized the Hutus. And we know that there was a plan to destroy and to eliminate the Tutsis off the face of this earth. And we know that this offended the Genocide Convention, which had come into force in 1948. It is sad that for nearly 100 days, the international community did nothing. Indeed, it is painful to realize that the United Nations, which had a small force in Rwanda, even reduced the size of that force when the genocide was going on. And after 100 days, we now know that anything between 800 and 1 million Tutsis and moderate Hutus had been killed. The streets of Kigali was awash with dead people. We now know that people were killed with machetes, even in churches. We now know that husbands stand against their wives simply because they were Tutsis. We now know that rape was used as a weapon in order to decimate the Tutsi people. It was sad, and the world remains guilty. But let us look at what happened and how this sad situation was brought to an end. Credit must go to the RPF, who are the exiles outside who came and occupied Kigali and stop the genocide. And many historians had written the obituary of Rwanda. They said that Rwanda would never be the same again. They said that the destruction of the Tutsis marked their end. And indeed, as I've already said, the obituary of the country was written. But 30 years on, something has happened. the administration led by Paul Kagame and his comrades in arms started on a path of reconciliation. Of course, the guilty international community very quickly formed the United Nations Tribunal for Rwanda, which was housed in Arusha, which tried the people with the highest responsibility. And by the time that it was concluding its activities, it had listened to slightly over 90 cases with 63 convictions. But the Rwandese administration realized that if you only relied on this international system and you relied on them in order to punish the perpetrators of the genocide, the country would never heal again. And what is important and what we don't talk about as much as we should is that the administration of Rwanda then decided to go back into history and to go back into tradition and look for a system of justice called the Gacaca. The Gacaca court system is a system that is known to the Rwandese people. It is a system that is administered by the population, and they sit and listen to those who have been accused of committing offenses. And it is the Gacaca which was deployed in Rwanda with the consequence that those who had perpetrated the genocide were rehabilitated after they had admitted that they had caused these heinous crimes. And today, 30 years on, the Rwandese are on a path to recovery. I use the word path very deliberately because when human beings have killed other human beings, the wounds remain alive and raw for a very long time. But praise must go to the administration of Rwanda. They have taken things and taken action, which in my view has demonstrated to the world that out of the pain of death, there can be hope. And how have they done it? They have done it in different ways. Politically, some may argue that the Rwanda administration is a dictatorship, but I choose to say that it is not. I choose to say that it is a disciplinarian form of government which is conscious of the realities that politics played in the typical Western style can only generate conflict and can only destroy a country that is struggling to recover from pain. So what have they done? Political participation is allowed, and political parties are allowed to operate, but within certain spheres and within certain parameters in order not to bring about agitation. We know that there are many individuals outside of Rwanda who still deny that there was a genocide. And they deny that there was a genocide, and I've had the occasion of meeting quite a number of them outside of Rwanda, and they have written books in order to demonstrate that there was no genocide. How do we deal with such individuals and such groups of individuals who still want to come back to Rwanda with the intention of visiting pain upon the population? This has been done through fairly choreographed political arrangement. And one is not claiming for one moment that the Rwandese administration is without any mistakes. There are mistakes that are being made, and they themselves have admitted that mistakes will always be made, but the intentions are good and noble. The other thing that has been done is from the economic perspective. Methods of economic inclusion have been deployed with a view to ensuring that household incomes are improved. I know for a fact that one of the things that the President Kagame administration has done is to introduce the scheme of one cow per family with a view to improving household nutrition. And I've been to Rwanda many times, and I can testify that indeed this is making great contributions. The third thing that they have done is to make people participate in cleaning up the environment. And when you go to Kigali, you'll see one of the cleanest cities in Africa, because every Saturday or every weekend, or once a month, I think. I may be wrong about the dates and about the months, but regularly the people do participate in cleanup of their spaces within the Republic of Rwanda. And this, in my view, has helped in many ways. Number four, One of the other things that they have done is to try and eliminate this distinction between Hutu and Tutsi and Twa. They say we are Banyarwanda. And when you are Banyarwanda, you relate amongst yourselves in a manner that enhances Banyarwandaness, if you may. And this, I think, is something that has contributed to the healing process in Rwanda after the genocide in 1994. In terms of regional integration, Rwanda has become a great proponent of regional integration in order to ensure that the Rwandese people are part of the East African community with a view to guaranteeing the fact that they have healed. So when one sees Rwanda today, after the genocide, you see a people who have risen like the phoenix. You see a people who, out of the pain that was visited upon them, have tried as much as is humanly possible to ensure that they are self-sufficient in many ways. You see a Rwanda today that is active. If you look at the indices, even in the health sector, the indices in agriculture, the indices in provision of electricity, the indices in education, the indices in terms of peace and tranquility, you can see that the nation is really on a path to recovery. And I say on a path to recovery because 30 years is a very short time in terms of the scheme of things. So when we are judging Rwanda, it is important to judge her with the realization that they have had a very short term in order through which, and a short term during which, they have tried to recover from a painful period in their life. And that is why the United Nations and the African continent, and indeed humanity now, recognize that the Rwandese have done a great job. When you go to Kigali, they are museums, and the clarion call is never again shall we have genocide in Rwanda. Never again shall brother rise against brother because they are Hutu or Tutsi or Twa. Never again shall people be discriminated against. Never again. And I think Rwanda is on a path of true recovery. Kwibuka. A conversation around genocide in Rwanda is a painful conversation, but it's a conversation that we must engage in so that we never repeat it again. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. See you again.